We have a brand new Stanley Cup champion. And with that, the 2023 Stanley Cup playoffs has come to an end. We are officially heading into the offseason. And I don't know what to do with myself anymore.
Now's the real season.
This is the most exciting time.
Let the rumors
say it, Chris.
But I don't know what to watch anymore.
Say it, brother.
I have Our Planet 2 that just came out on Netflix. I love listen to Dave and Adam Burrow's soothing British 90-year-old voice.
100%.
But it just hit me. It's like, fuck, the NHL season is officially over.
It's a month and a half, bro.
The Vegas Golden Knights are brand new champions. We're going to get to them soon. But the Curfew Boys, we're still going on. For now, Sammy here with Joey, Chris, and Zook. Hey now, hey, boys.
Glad to be back.
How y'all doing? Good to be back. Yeah, Zook, we haven't seen your...
It's like every time I'm down to come on, it's like something fucking mechanically breaks around me. And
are you talking about like around you or like within you?
Both. Mentally, physically.
Mentally, physically.
Environmentally, yeah. All that stuff.
Hey.
No, it just sucks. Yeah, go for it.
You must be happy. It's F1. It's F1 weekend. Ooh, the Canadian Grand Prix here in Montreal this weekend.
Yeah.
Starting for sure. Friday, Saturday.
It's a great track. It's definitely a great track. It's one of the best ones in the circuit in the season.
For real? So,
in terms of track layout and like the characteristics of the track, it's one of the exciting ones.
Do you think it's the best, or do you have a
There's
one. Monaco.
Monaco's the best. Actually, that's one of the worst.
Can you give me one? Zook, or you think it's
one of the best tracks rated? It's one of the new ones. I forgot.
What about like Qatar? No, don't they?
Azerbaijan, Baku is a really exciting track.
Okay.
Even the one in France is really cool too. Just really fast, quick turns.
Which one's the one where they're in like they're in the mountains? Basically, is it the in Switzerland?
That's Spa. No, that's in Belgium.
Oh, okay. Beautiful
track.
Zook, but I think you should host a F1 podcast.
Yeah. Oh my God! Ride or die. Ride or die.
It's basically not a popular thing anymore here in terms of like people don't watch it.
Well, it's popular around the world,
dude. You'll
get the world, but
you'll get followers across Europe, and you'll get like these beautiful women who follow you.
Yeah, well,
especially with that Bella Fatch of yours.
Yo.
Joey, Joey just said the ding. That means correct.
I know in one of the previous episodes, you spoke about how poor the NHL is in terms of marketing.
Okay, yes. Oh, I'm so happy you're here. Please, no. This is I'm giving you the floor. Okay, look.
Okay.
Here, I'll introduce your little segment here.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
I did not prepare this.
So for me, the Formula One documentary on Netflix. What's it called again?
Drive to Survive.
I was thinking Ride or Die, but anyways, Drive to Survive. The Formula One documentary on Netflix. Like, I've known F1 my whole life. I don't follow it religiously, like someone like Zook or others around the world. But I've always had major respect for that sport. You know, I still remember Michael Schumacher dominating, Jacques Villeneuve at that time too. I remember that. But like watching this documentary really, Chris, shut the fuck up.
You want to know what?
Hold on a sec. This documentary, you know, really made me like appreciate this sport even more.
Right.
Like, and I know Zook, you and I, we've talked about like how it's behind the scenes, but you say it's like tip of the iceberg though of what happens scenes. And I trust your judgment. You're a much bigger fan than I am. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, I've been wanting something like that for hockey, for the NHL. And I'm not talking about what fucking Prime did for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like that was a joke. And because it's the Maple Leafs, if it was the Canadians, I'd be saying otherwise. But like, you know, they had 24CH. The best thing the NHL ever did was doing those Winter Classic documentaries. The Road to the Winter Classic. Yes, those were the best. And I truly feel like when they were doing that, HBO literally giving behind the scenes, you hear the players swearing, the coaches losing their shit. Bruce Boudreau, John Tortorella losing their shit. even Pierre Laviolette, it's typical.
Yeah.
Like, fans like that. They really love that. And I truly believe it was in the mid, like they started doing what, 2014, 15, around that time?
It was like 20, it was right around 2012 even.
Exactly, exactly. It could have been around that, like the first Pittsburgh versus Washington. I really feel like the NHL had fans like at the highest moments or at the highest point when they were doing. That's what the fans want. They want shit like that.
Now they're going backwards.
Exactly. So yeah. Zook and I had this conversation many times. So Zook, I give you a one timer pass. Go for it.
Okay. Well, look, I'll give you a quick stat. So Formula One was. It's a worldwide sport, right? So it definitely has a, just like straight off the bat, it has a wider range of audience, right?
Right.
But yet they were losing in some key markets, like in Europe, for example, Germany, for example, where you have history such as Schumacher, legendary fucking drivers, and ratings were shit. They canceled the fucking track race actually at one point because just so bad, right? So then all of a sudden, I think F1 got purchased by this company called Liberty Media, which is an American company, or it's a group of American billionaires or whatever it is. And they really put a focus on the marketing of it. So, you know, social media exploded. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, the drivers have a personal social media. That was the first initiative, right?
Okay.
So all the fans could fucking see the inside lives of what marketing Hamilton does, how he trains, what he does in the morning.
Marketing their players, basically branding their players, their drivers.
And then immediately, dude, F1 jumped 30% in ratings after 1 year after the first episode of Drive to Survive.
Yeah, no kidding.
30%. That's like the growth of like a fucking huge. Dude, if NHL sees a 20% growth, it's going to be insane. Yeah. 30% for a little DVD that went behind the scenes. And it's not all of what happens in F1. There's a lot more that they can't even publish because it's incredibly political.
Okay. But
it really gave like Americans who were NASCAR fans turning into F1 fans now.
Wow, okay.
Which is huge. And you know how huge NASCAR is in the States. Oh, yeah.
Boogity, get up on your feet. Yeah, it's like,
every Sunday. So, you know. Yeah, so,
just to see them go, oh.
Yeah. It's nothing that's very easy. Very easy racing. Exciting as hell, though. Like, it's.
I'm sure it is.
I never know who's going to win, like, which is fucking nuts.
Just make fun of it. Keep constant left turns.
Things like that at the NHL, that I find that it's so stratified. It's so divided. Like every team is divided in NHL, and that's what they're trying to preserve. I'm guessing they should break that, go into the days of like a GM, for example, and see what they do and interact with like rumors and things to that effect. It could be so well done and very easy. The structure's there. They're in North America. It's a great league, great fans, great teams. Now with the States, with Vegas, who's winning, they have a championship team.
They could do
something on a global scale, dude. And I don't think,
and they're not. Yeah,
Bettman is gonna ever do that. He's, you know, he wants to save fucking Phoenix. You know, like, like, what's that gonna do? You know,
Chris, you wanted to say something.
Well, you know, on that point, and that this is not what I was laughing about before. I just want to take a little side note to say, one of the few times that you came and stayed over with myself and my brother. Mm-hmm. We watched F1 in the fucking morning. It was a Sunday morning. We woke up early. That was the fucking race. Michael Schumacher fucking smashed into the wall, broke both his legs. The one time we watched,
I was in Italy when that happened.
Best, one of the best drivers in history fucking crashes and fucking breaks both legs. So I was just laughing.
I don't remember. I really don't remember that. But I'll take your word for it.
I swear to God, it was just. But
I believe you.
Going back to the conversation that we're having. So laughs aside. Like, I look at the NHL, I look at it on a whole, and what you said before really got me thinking, you know, take Road to the Winter Classic, the 24/7 Road to the Winter Classic.
Yeah.
There was a certain, like, the marketing that was behind it created a certain level of rivalry, hatred, importance. I'm looking at it now, and I'm not saying that it's only on that show, but I'm having a hard time identifying a single game. And maybe it's because the Canadians are not competitive, but I don't think that's the reason. I don't think, whether you look around the league, I don't think that there are a lot of games that fans are just like, I cannot wait for the next game. Dude, I cannot wait to see this matchup. Like, you, You think about, remember, like, and this is not, fuck, this is not what we're asking for. But the whole season, when there was the Pacioretty injury, before and after, every single game against Boston was circled on the calendar. It was circled like five times over after the injury.
Yeah.
And it was a spectacle. There was a hatred. There was a pride. There was something.
But even the commercials were about the games to come. And they were marketing the games and showing the hits and this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, they don't do that anymore. Yeah. They're just the two logos and a nice fucking background.
Maybe the question is because what kind of society are we right now?
Right, but fuck, man.
We're soft.
Is it that bad?
They do it in other leagues, Sam. It's society would affect – it would affect – other leagues, but other leagues market way better.
Which other leagues are you talking about, though, Joey?
NFL, soccer. They hype you up.
Football.
For sure. Dude,
they should learn
one thing we noticed, NHL fans are – I'm sorry. A lot of us are soft here. Yeah. We see one thing on Twitter we don't like or don't agree with. We lose our minds that we have to cancel everybody. But
well, just take the players in themselves. They were so fucking tough. And I'm sorry to say, but it drags you – Look at the reaction that we're getting with Jack Eye fighting. Look how excited, he doesn't score goals. He's not making, he scores a few goals. He doesn't make incredible plays, for sure. But every time he's on the ice and he's there's a possible fight, there's a buzz, there's a vibe. People, I'm sorry to say, but deep down, I think it's deeply rooted in us. You think of Joey's Roman Coliseum. We get together in a crowd. We're fucking barbaric.
Modern day gladiators. It comes down to our human roots. You can't escape it, people, no matter what you put on Twitter. But all that to say is, before jumping on to the Vegas Golden Knights, do you really think them winning the cup really helps the American market? Look at outside Vegas' arena when they won. It was a party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't Adrian who sent us that it was the least watched Stanley Cup in history?
Could be.
In terms of ratings?
We send a bunch of things to each other, and I can't get to them all.
Well, he sent saying that they calculated it was the least watched in Stanley Cup history. Not sure if
really?
It's true or not.
Honestly, it's been declining, though, the last 10 years. If you look at the historical data, it's not on the rise, dude. It's not on the rise.
Wow. Okay.
When the Habs were in the finals, it was like one of the good ones, and it was still not
as
where
high.
It used to be. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, look, let's jump right into it. Look, man, Vegas, Viva Las Vegas, man. What a team.
The last 6 years.
Jack Eichel.
Jack Eichel, what a player! Jack Eichel, what a player! I've been trying to look everywhere online for a picture of to create a meme. You know, there's that one picture where it's a kid holding his two younger brothers. He's smiling, and the other two are crying. And there's a Habs logo on him. And there's two Boston Bruins on the two crying. I've been trying to find the original picture of that because I wanted to put the smiling kid, Jack Eichel, and the other two, Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, crying. It's a meme. It's a joke. But let's be honest here. Fuck. Jack Eichel. I'm sorry. He wasn't the problem in Buffalo. I'm going to say that. How is it Jack Eichel gets traded from Buffalo? The first time he goes to the playoffs, he wins the cup.
He was never deemed a problem, I think.
It
was more about his surgery.
You guys attacked me about his injury, how bad he is in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You guys verbally attacked me, everybody.
You deserve the joy.
And again, I'm right.
He gets on a team where they're stacked to the gills. He's just a little piece in the puzzle. No. So it's not as if
he didn't lead them. 66 points. The second it was really close between Marchessault.
Oh yeah,
Marchessault won for a reason.
MVP of the playoffs.
Nah.
It was
Marchessault won because of all those goals that he scored in the last
next
two rounds.
You realize he had the same amount of points as Suzuki with about 17-18 less games played. You realize that, right?
Do you think Suzuki in Vegas he would have only fucking 24 goals or whatever he has? Come on.
But Eichel's a playmaker.
Idiot.
He showed up in the playoffs.
That's how it is.
Buffalo, if if Buffalo would have said yes, go do the surgery, he would still be there right now.
Exactly.
Ryan O'Reilly got traded from Buffalo. The first season in St. Louis, he wins the cup. I'm just saying. I think.
Let's go get a pick from Buffalo. Who's Buffalo's? No, let's go get Tage Thompson. Let's go.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. I'd kill for that. I hope Slafkovský becomes Tage
Thompson. Would you trade number five for Tage Thompson?
Not now. We'll get later. We'll get to that later. Oh. Listen, I didn't think Vegas would literally destroy Florida, let alone in five. And I didn't think they'd destroy them 9-3.
Yeah.
In that game. Yeah. That was insane. What an unreal performance, though. And I've said this. There you go. I've said this. Usually the team that wins a Stanley Cup is the healthiest team.
Why NHL needs to, market better, but they need to reduce their amount of games. I said that when we were talking about it, and I'll continue to say it. There's just way too many injuries in playoffs that determine who's the cup champion.
Listen, man, but this is why these guys are royals.
I don't know why it's not fair.
These guys are fucking tough.
You're right, but why is 60 games not fair? It's not enough. 60 games. You're telling me 60 games in a season is not enough? No,
I need 82 games in my life.
Yeah, but then it's lower. Then you get a lower quality product, in my
opinion. I agree with Joey. Yeah.
Less games,
but they do.
Dude,
9-3 is a 9-3 is a terrible product to have at your elimination game. 9-3 is terrible.
I understand that, but listen, it's the nature of the beast. We've seen this all year round, and we still see guys that fucking they overcome it. Like Tampa did it when they played the Canadians. Hedman had a busted ankle, and
it's way different. The skill gap is like
I understand that, Joel, but you know.
How about what was the length of the season when the Canadians were on the terror there, like winning cups every fucking years?
Dude,
what was that? 70?
Okay, we're gonna get to the ninth.
Outside of the playoffs.
No, yeah, during that time, yeah. But don't forget, in the early 90s, it was 84 games.
Early 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
But so you know what? Before we go ahead.
Go.
No, because if we're gonna make that transition to where we're gonna go season.
No, I still want to talk about Vegas. So, like,
yeah,
okay, good, because I'll make my point last, but I'll just say this: fucking disappointing final. Like, honestly, there are two things that really stand out to me. You know what? Fuck it, I'll say it right now. There are two things that stand out to me. towards the end of the game, in the last moments. And I'll extend it this much. As much as I hate Toronto, if Toronto fans were in the situation that Vegas was, that building would have been rocking. They would have been singing. They would have been crying. They would have, like, the emotion would have been busting out. When I'm looking at the fucking TV and I see, and they're looking and they're just like, yeah, our team won. Taking
they're
videos.
Reserving their
CJ 20,000 people partying outside
Chris,
the arena.
They've only been around for 6 years. Need time. It would be more concerning if it was the opposite, because Florida's been around from the 90s, right? So Florida, it would be more concerning if they would behave like that if they win the cup. Vegas, it's hard. They've been there for 6 years. It takes a long time to build a fan base.
Yes, but they sell out every night. They sell out every night. They've been there from day one. They've been lucky enough to have a very competitive team from day one. But it just, to me, especially this final, I don't feel like I really didn't feel an emotional involvement. I didn't feel as though it was genuinely and truly appreciated. Like, even if Florida would have won, whether it went either way, like, I think it's like, hey, yeah, cool. Our team, our franchise in our city won, and like, bravo. But Monday morning, it's going to be like, or the next week, let's just put it off to the next week. Like, oh, yeah, we won. Oh, cool. Montreal, Toronto, Boston, all the original six,
Edmonton.
New York and Chicago, Edmonton, any one of the Canadian markets. Like, do you understand? This changes, they would have changed the whole outcome of these individuals' summers. It would have given them so much happiness, so much to look forward to. Like, just so much positivity. And when I see that, and like I said, I'm going back to it, it's not a question of building fan base. It's like, oh, whatever, we got our football team. Oh, whatever, we got this. Like, we can look and we can say, oh, well, we have the MLS, we have the Alouettes, we have whatever, but it doesn't mean the same thing. Like, hockey is everything to us, and hockey to them, to those markets, to a lot of these markets, they have the fans, they're making money, but it's just not meaningful. And I find that sickening,
because they're used,
it's great for the players, happy for the players, but it's just like
they're not used to it. So take people our age, Vegas, let's say somebody our age 6 years ago never watched hockey, they live in Vegas, and Vegas comes now, okay, Vegas is my team, but they never grew up with the passion of watching hockey. You got to wait to young kids who are born watching Vegas for them to develop that passion. That's the way I see it. And then you're sort of comparing to the original six, which we'll never compare. And that's in any sport, NFL, baseball, soccer, whatever. You're comparing to the original teams that have literally the most hardcore fan bases, and Canada. You'll never compare it with some of the American towns.
Let's say you say Florida and you say the Minnesota Wild. Like, two very different markets, not an original six, somewhere in between, not an overwhelmingly old franchise.
Minnesota's a hockey state.
Exactly. And that's exactly the point that I'm trying to say. The people in Minnesota would have the same reaction as the other Canadian teams, as the original six teams. And it's just that what pains me is, again, bravo for selling out. They clearly have the support, but they have the sheer number of people. They have the sheer amount of residents to be able to support those franchises, and awesome. But I just hate the fact, I hate seeing the cup going to a city that's going to be indifferent about them winning a championship within a week. That's all I'm saying.
Trust me, the passion takes time.
But to me,
I hope so.
I won't be as passionate if, for Montreal, I'm not big on basketball. I mean, I watch it, but if Montreal gets a basketball team and they win, I won't be as passionate because I'm not used to having a Montreal team.
You never know, man.
No, you never know for sure. But
it's a Montreal Alliance, but like, even if they
want, I would watch it
rather than them getting a team while they're in their mid 20s, 30s, and they've gone, let's say a quarter of their life without any. Yeah. Vegas Golden Knights or any hockey in Vegas, like, it takes time to get used to. The real passionate ones are going to be the kids that are going to grow up watching Vegas. And also, to me, the NHL market is just completely down.
I was just about to say that they don't market if they get up off their ass and start marketing the sport in this league properly, you won't have that problem. But to me, it's not about that. To me, it's the fact that this organization was able to do it in 6 years, like the owner promised. That's fucked up.
Yeah,
like that to me. This,
and they almost did it a long time ago too.
But man, like, I've never seen such a group of aggressive, big balls. I haven't seen management like that, like, ever in the NHL. Like,
were we on a 10-year plan with Bergevin?
Oh
yeah, we're recovering 5 years of mistakes at least.
So 15 years gonna take. So,
but and then meanwhile these guys come in. George McPhee. What's his McPhee. Name? Yeah,
yep.
Man, like, talk about being aggressive and not being afraid to pay guys.
That bothers me more. You know what, Chris? Sorry, Sam. I thought you were finished.
No, but sure, it's okay. That bothers you. But fuck the fact that they were able to pay Mark Stone, pay Alex Pietrangelo, trade for fucking Jack Eichel. My God, who else did it? Trade for Barbashev, trade for Aiden Hill.
It's an attractive place.
Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah, it
is. I'm also a big believer that these players are a product of their environment.
Of course.
And so are the Florida teams. Florida, in any sport, how many of them been to the finals within the past 4 years? Like, almost all of them.
Yeah, right.
Like the Tampa Bay Lightning, now the Florida Panthers, Miami Heat, who just lost. Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they won with Tom Brady, Joey.
It's also, they have
good management. We beat him the next year we won, so we have.
Yeah, anyways.
Went back to the finals.
I wanted to say, to clarify, not that part bothers me. What bothers me is that within 6 years, an expansion team can win it, and we're still talking about rebuilding, what to do to get better. I know it's not the Habs, but I'll always say it will bother me how a team – that picks up literally guys that weren't protected from other teams is able to make a team to compete in playoffs every year, besides 1 year they didn't make it.
Because you're not getting rookies. But they didn't get any rookies. They didn't get any young players.
Yeah, but
they got guys.
They pick, They picked guys who are considered the 13th, 14th best player on every team.
Not all of them. Some of them just because they couldn't they had to get rid of their contracts. The
13th, 14th.
No, but some of them just had to get rid of their contracts. That's all.
Such as
you want to talk.
Well, Marc-Andre Fleury was one of them.
Okay, he didn't win the cup, but
yeah, I understand that. But at the time finals. He started, he would just go to the finals. Like he's.
But just to say they're able.
I get what you're saying, but
and in 6 years they not okay. Even forget the year they won the cup. They made playoffs and competed every year besides 1 year. They made a Stanley Cup Finals and a Conference Finals versus us. And they were exciting and they're fun to watch every year. While us were still have our heads between our freaking legs. You know, should we go with this guy? This guy? Can we get the first overall? I don't know how in 6 years they can build a team not full of scraps, but full of players that aren't protected. Look, if you're good enough, you're protected by your team.
They created a culture. They created a winning culture from the get-go.
They created a winning culture, but they also had a shit ton of luck. They got paid. They got literally paid, compensated by the Florida Panthers to take Riley Smith and Marchessault. They fucking got paid to get those players, and look who's the MVP of the goddamn fucking playoffs. Marchessault, that's a major slap in the face. And there were a lot of bad moves that were done by other teams, and I have to say, there's your answer, Joey. Vegas got, in a certain sense, very lucky with a few players. And they also got fucking overpaid.
You have to be good to identify these type of profiles that are going to fit your team. It's a bit of both. And they did very well by taking Carlson, by taking Riley Smith at the time, by taking Marchessault. They were very aggressive on Eichel. You say it's lucky to get Eichel, but I must have screamed that Bergevin's name to try. Do you think he tried? You want my honest opinion? I'll give you my honest opinion. He did not try. There's no way.
I completely agree, but I want to, for Vegas's purpose, the reason why they were able to go out and acquire as much as they did is because they got how many different teams, and I think this is a good exercise. We should come back to this on the next show. How many teams paid first-round picks and second-round picks that ended up getting used for future trades like Eichel, like Stone, and like other players because they were fucking just stupid and they were overcompensating to get rid of contracts that they deemed not worthy. And then these guys, they go to Vegas with a chip on their shoulder, a beautiful city to be, party town, you're feeling good all the time. They're young guys. You just got thrown out. In certain cases, you got paid to go to another team. You go there with a huge chip on your shoulder. You got something to prove, and they fucking proved it. Right from the first year, like, don't get me wrong, Riley Smith and Marchessault, I can't say that they were absolutely outstanding players when they were in Florida. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been giving that much to get rid of them. But you go there, you end up in the finals. You're like, you know what?
Your first year.
I'm not that bad. You build up a whole sense of a whole new level of confidence. You come back competitive every single year. Like, there was a chain reaction in so many ways. But all I can say is that initial draft, expansion draft, I don't know how many teams, let's say like a good 20 teams, shot themselves in the foot and put Vegas right up on a pedestal right away with the stupidity.
I think that occurred. Yeah. Yeah, but to me, it's just not being afraid to go pay guys like Pietrangelo Stone and the trade for Eichel. Dude, their defense, Vegas's defense was unreal. When you have Alex Pietrangelo and Shea Theodore as your number one and two, like, holy shit. And then you have Alec Martinez, who, him too, he's going to be Mr. fucking clutch in these playoffs. That's so weird how in the same anniversary, he gets the game winner for Vegas, the anniversary where he gets the game winner when he scored for LA in overtime against the Rangers. That same playoff run where Chris motherfucking Kreider crashed into Carey Price and fucking took him out. Anyways, I won't go there. But you know what else was key to them being healthy? Bruce Cassidy played all four lines. He played all three defensive pairings.
They had depth to play them.
Like, they had.
They weren't scared to play any line.
They did, but that's why they were healthy. Like,
it kept them healthy.
And Aiden Hill, like, where the fuck did this guy come from? Yeah. We talk about him a lot, but man, I thought he was going to win the Conn Smythe, and he's a UFA. He's an unrestricted free agent. You could bet your ass he's getting paid. But Jonathan Marchessault was unreal. Like he woke up at the perfect time for Vegas. Like that's Dallas just start scoring goals, like 11 goals in 10 games. But Jack Eichel, he was the best player in these playoffs. He led the playoffs. So I have the stats right here. Dude, 26 points in 22 games, only 6 goals, but Marchessault 13 goals. 25 points.
Yeah, but I facilitated so much. He opened everything.
Oh my god, he was unreal. The passes he was making, one of the
enough.
It's within the first year, it's a slap in the face for us.
Imagine if we were Buffalo fans.
What do you mean for us? We were never gonna get him, dude. Like,
but we didn't try.
Stop dreaming. We don't know that.
We did not. No, we didn't try. Come on, you know it as well as I do.
Joey, use my phrase. Joey, bet. No. Which nut of yours are you willing to bet that Mark Bergevin did not try to get Jack Eichel?
Both.
Yeah, come on. But Joey, what I'm about to say is, knowing our luck and knowing Bergevin's management, Jack Eichel would have got traded to Montreal, would have had surgery, would have ended up a quadriplegic. And I'm not laughing at it. I'm just saying,
especially with our medical staff. Knowing our luck.
So it has nothing to do with the team. He decided where he was getting surgery and how he was going to perform it. That was what Buffalo didn't want, and Vegas allowed him to do it. So Montreal wouldn't have been involved in this. They wouldn't have had the choice. And he would have developed now under Hughes and Gorton rather than Bergevin, because Bergevin the next year was gone. Anyways, I'm just saying it was a mistake. It's someone there, and I don't know. We're never aggressive to get an actual good player, and then we go sign someone like Dvorak because we're scared because Kotkaniemi left. So we were not.
It's true.
The Habs were never aggressive, but it doesn't mean that they aren't aggressive nowadays.
Different. I'm saying, hats off to Golden Knights. I mean, they have a ridiculous team, and
what freaked me out though is hearing that Matthew Tkachuk had a broken sternum in game 3 and 4.
He needed help to get dressed.
Yeah, apparently needed help to get dressed. And you hear Aaron Ekblad, he busted ankles, separated shoulder. The guy's practically RoboCop now. And Gudas played with a spray. Dude, these guys, this is what they play for, man.
Less games, you'll have better quality products. You'll have more intense games because when it comes down to making playoffs, you'll see how intense it is at the final few games of playoffs. Will be more exciting, but Bettman will never do it.
Best of 5?
I'm sure the NHLPA
would do that. A best of 5 in the playoffs instead of best of 7? Yeah, maybe.
I don't mind best of 7. I just want less games in the season.
In the season, I want.
Instead of 82, try 65 to begin and then go from there. Or whatever, 64 if you need even.
74. Yeah. I need a bit more hockey games in my life. Well,
Sam, you get 64 plus playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I want. It's finished, and I'm still like, I don't know what to do myself anymore.
But this is the most exciting time is now.
I understand that, but
I might be one of those games. Well, I might be one of those oddballs, but I think I enjoy, for soccer and hockey, I enjoy the off season with all the transfer bullshit that comes out.
Yeah,
I do too. Okay. I don't know why.
I want to bring this up. We're talking about injuries, and about 24 hours ago, and if you're listening to us right now on either Apple Podcast, Spotify, or watching us on YouTube, excuse me for my mess up, should be about 48 hours now where news broke out that the Canadians let go of their head athletic therapists and their head physiotherapists.
Expected.
Surprise.
I said it months ago. Change is going to happen. And the medical staff,
but they really like
what happened. Fired. They didn't even resign. They fired.
No, they can't resign. They let them go,
dude. Like that's serious shit.
But to me, but you see, this it's a Gorton move.
I'm sure.
I think so too.
I think so. Yeah.
But this is the thing where it's like, I feel like more than ever, this particular move might be the last, I don't know if I want to call it a missing piece, but the last necessary change that this management need to do to finally take us to the next level.
I think so.
Like I truly believe that now. And I don't want to jump the gun and be like, oh, we're gonna have zero man games lost from now on. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But Jesus Christ, when you go from it, look, we're always gonna have the debate where it's like, is it their fault or is it the player's fault? Is it a mixture of both? But
it's usually a mixture, I would think.
It's a mixture of both. Look, it's like the fact that they brought in advanced analytics.
We never had advanced analytics.
So he's really revamping every department. And the medical staff is part of that. So that's
perhaps
more changes or more
additions,
for example, or different procedures. There's maybe changes for sure.
But like, listen, he brought in a development.
That too, yeah.
Coach. That's new. He's bringing in analytics. Now he's changed the medical staff. It's like, I truly think in terms of like the head office or even, Zook disappeared. So I really feel like, I don't know, I have a good feeling about this.
Honestly, if it were up to me, you find every corner. I don't care if the guy is sweeping in the basement of the Bell Center. Anybody that Marc Bergevin hired, out, or you have to go under a severe revision. We're going to do a cleansing. We bring in people.
What about the people just greets you at the door?
We do fucking out. Exactly. You sold tickets? You scanned tickets?
Get out.
New regime in the house.
Yeah, this needs to happen. And, you know, nobody likes hearing news about somebody losing their job. But at some point in time, there's got to be accountability somewhere. But then you also hear the players were like, this is a bit shocking to us. It's like,
but they're not going to say otherwise, are they?
I get it, and I understand that. But
fucking sucked. Imagine.
But like this, it's fuck. I got a good feeling about this move, though. Like, so I really do. Like,
can't get any worse.
Who's next? Yeah. Or what's next? That's what I'm curious to see. Who's going to replace?
Not 2 years of breaking records for most man games lost in a season.
It's not even that, Sam, though. It's the fact that they allowed players to make certain decisions, like play games that they
teams
that they were in and they were already injured. They knew they were injured, but they let them play. Like things like that. You can't fucking.
No, you can't
come back early.
You cannot do that.
But that's or, that. So yeah, or come back early. Like,
Who
came back early? Caden Gooley came back once.
Gooley. A little early. Monahan.
Monahan for sure.
Doc. Monahan, example. Doc.
Yeah, well, Doc, what the fuck was that? He was sick, and then all of a sudden, his legs broke off or something like that.
The sheer amount of fuck ups, seriously, I say cost us a minimum of another first round pick. Whether it would have been, Monahan is maybe a little bit of a stretch because he really wasn't healthy for a significant amount of time, but Edmondson, Jesus, he came back like a game before trade deadline. Had that guy been, I think it was Edmonton that we were mentioning. Mm-hmm. You know, wouldn't a guy like Edmondson look really good on the blue line over there? He would have been such a good fit. I guarantee. I could almost. They were betting nuts again.
They were interested in it.
Right, you pick boys, but I say we get another first round pick if we don't have as many injuries. There's one guy. There's at least one guy on that roster of injured players.
For me, it's Monahan.
Yeah, it's Monahan. And it's fucking Edmondson, one or the other. Pick.
I think the only one they made the right call was actually Caulfield.
Yeah. Well, even him, though, they let him play a game while he was injured. And that's not a fucking good thing.
Well, like 20 games injured.
But they
it was 20 games injured?
They said I'm pretty sure if they were competing, he would have been able to – he would have continued playing if they were competing for the season, like if they were going to make playoffs. You can't mess that up that badly. I don't think it's as bad as maybe people make it out to be. If they were going to allow them to continue if they were in playoffs.
Yeah, right. I think so. But at the end of the day, a lot of these players – I mean, just look what Matthew Tkachuk did. Look what Aaron Ekblad did. Look what look what Gudas did as well. You know, even in Dallas Stars, them too.
Yeah, but
these players are going to play in the playoffs if they're injured.
You got to remember, though, Sam, these guys are on long contracts too, which let's say they're young and they're playing injured and something happens that fucking gets their injury even worse and then they can't play for their 8-9-year contracts. They're stuck at 3 years. Yeah, but it's costing the teams money and shit like that. So like, the medical staff is a vital part of the puzzle of a team, in my opinion.
It's huge.
If you have that fucked up, you're gonna risk your contracts, you're gonna risk your stars, your prospects, your players, and create a lot of bottlenecks in the future, right? So I think it's a positive change now that those two guys left.
It's massive. It's massive. It's unfortunate. We'll see if processes
change, you know, if there's more communication with the media, what the problems are, things like that. You know, I'm looking forward to see.
Because
I always find they're the only team that's like a mystery fucking thing. Like, oh, he's mysteriously not playing tonight. He has a mystery fucking illness. That's not how you fucking...
Mystery injury. He's got a mystery injury.
And then they play two games later and then off for 2 weeks.
It's like a missed injury. I don't know.
Things like that need to change, man. And
they'll never reveal the actual injury. They'll just say upper body or lower body.
Yeah, but there's ways. I'm sure there's ways to improve that.
He's got a fucking dislocated disc. It is...
Whatever, man. Like, none of these mystery bullshits.
His fucking tailbone.
Cole Caulfield injured. Well, he's been with too many women here in Montreal. His lower back, he's got a slip disc.
Whatever it
is, man. I'd actually believe that more than fucking the shit that they put out, to be honest with you.
There you go. Because it removes this fucking rumor bullshit that flies on Twitter. Can't stand that shit. If you have a clear communication from the team to your fans, then all that noise is...
Okay, you want to talk about...
Noise.
It's just noise, exactly. If you want to talk about rumors, though, on Twitter...
Ooh. Segway.
Dude.
This is nuts.
What the fuck has been going on within the last four...
Okay, but honestly, Sammy...
You should add it down to...
But the sources are not that credible, Joey.
What?
Yeah, but everybody...
The sources are not that credible.
Everybody's saying they're talking to... They were talking to San Jose. Now they're for the fourth pick. Now they're talking to Anaheim for the second.
I'm sure they're gonna talk about it, but it doesn't mean anything.
They're
gonna talk for it. If Kent is doing his job, he has to talk.
But this is my point: is that it happens all the time. Why is this all of a sudden?
That's what I mean. Like
fucking news.
It's because it's summertime and they want fucking views. These people. I'm telling you.
Probably. Clickbait. And what are we doing then?
Right, but at least we throw in some facts and stuff, you know.
We do. There's one follower that said at least you guys like. You guys talk with a fucking clear head, like you're not. And it's true, we're not like people on Twitter and stuff. But Jesus Christ, what the fuck are they gonna have to give up if they want to get the fourth overall?
I want to ask you, boys. Would you trade the fifth, of course, the Florida pick, and Logan Mailloux for a pick above us?
Are you talking 2, 3, or 4? There's actually a difference.
For two, yes.
That's
because I think Mayu is going to be an incredible piece. So
I'll probably say yes, Zook, but Anaheim says no. So
Okay.
I'm telling you to trade up. It's going to cost way too much. To me, trading up to 3 and 4.
Okay. How about this? Your fifth, 31st, and next year's first round pick. Yeah.
Yes. That absolutely,
because that's a possibility too. Because the Habs are not going to be necessarily a good team, which means teams might like that high pick.
They won't have.
That's the thing. You're right.
Do you
then
believe Habs will make playoffs next year, Zoo?
But if they don't make playoffs, they're going to.
If healthy, Zoo, they could.
With the new medical staff, yes.
if they properly assess their injuries, you never know.
But if they don't, it's not going to look good on the management, at least at the beginning, because you gave up a first rounder in a year you don't make playoffs again because you're not sure of it.
That's true.
To move up. That's why. Second or fourth?
I'll do second. I would fourth.
They will never do it, but to move up to second, it's a lot. But in the end, you have to gamble. If you really like Fantilli, do you do it?
Fuck.
That's really the thing. Look, two is still a little bit separate from 3 and 4. I would never trade up 3 or 4, and I would be hugely disappointed if they trade down.
Oh my god! If they trade down, I'm gonna lose my shit.
The mock draft they had, because I have the subscription, right? And they had the Montreal writers put a mock draft where they had Montreal trading the 5th and 31st for the 9th and 17th. I nearly had a stroke.
Get the fuck out of here! Why? Why? I don't know. Anyways,
I don't know.
I have
to keep the 5th. The Canadians, trust me.
I have a theory though. I really think if they want the seconds, because they want to be able to decide if they could draft either Michkov, Carlson, or Fantilli. Like they, I think they really, really want those three.
Why are you trading? You're going to get one of them. It's guaranteed. Why would
you? It's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed that you're going to get those three. Come on, guys.
No, what we're saying is if you
want one of the three. You think they want one of the three, right? You're guaranteed to get one of the three.
If they trade, that's my theory. They want one of those three guys.
Why would you trade? If they want one of those three guys, you're guaranteed to get one of them at five. Why would you
trade? Are you really?
Am I?
I hear you, Joey.
I personally don't think Michkov is going to drop to five.
Then you have Carlson or Smith.
I don't think Carlson will drop to number five either.
Okay, then you have Smith.
You know what?
I'm not talking about Smith.
No, you said you want Montreal to be guaranteed either Smith, Carlson, or
Michkov. No, I said Michkov, Carlson, or Fantilli.
I heard you said Smith.
Yeah, but I think...
If I said Smith, I'm sorry. I apologize, Joey. I apologize for offending you. I don't want to go back to the court. Okay, pardon me. Let me rephrase this. I think they really want either Michkov, Fantilli, or Carlson. And as much as can't use his praising Will Smith, it's not about what he's saying, it's what he's not saying. Okay?
That's true.
I
don't think he wants Michkov.
He said last year like he really liked what's his face? Shane Wright. He really liked him.
Hold up.
And who did he pick?
Okay, one second though.
Different year.
No. Look,
he's got the best poker face ever.
He does, man. Lawyer.
Perfectly fine. I agree with that. But fuck, they're not trading up. In my opinion, they are not unless it's number four. Unless it's pick number four and they have one guy that they really like that's still on the board, that's still available.
Maybe Carlson
that they could pick up. I don't see them going above four because especially for Michkov's case, everybody keeps talking. This guy's not going to be here for 3 years. Might there be hiccups here and there?
Fine.
If they fucking give away a shit ton to get a guy that might have all sorts of like fucking, you know, yellow tape around him for years to come, that could backfire big time. So I do not see them making that gamble. However, if they're like, fuck, we'd like Michkov maybe at four, we'd like to really have Will Smith at number four, and we don't want to take that risk, I could see them moving up and maybe going for that. But like Joey's saying, look, Fantilli and Bedard, I don't think there's any way that those guys slide. And whether it be any one of those other three Bedard guys, I don't see the Canadians having any problem drafting them when they get to their spot. Unless they say, fuck, the only guy that I see a justification for them to move up for, the only, is actually going to be Fantilli. If they really say, we want that big centerman, we're expecting... oh, fuck, Joey. If we want that big centerman and we were really set on him, I think Bedard's completely off the table. And the only other guy that's going to be going, I'd say top three without blinking an eye, is going to be Fantilli. So if they're moving up to those positions, it's because they're going after Fantilli. If not, they're perfectly happy with those other three guys. And like Joey said, you're guaranteed to get one of them.
See, Sam, my view is kind of like the opposite. I think they want to move up so they can take Carlson or Smith. I think they do not want Michkov. Because what I mentioned before, the Athletic, I think those are very good sources. Arpin Baspu and all those writers there, they were talking about how if Montreal's fifth, they were looking at Rheinbacher. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or who's Smith's teammate? What's his name?
Leonard. Yeah,
Leonard. Which massive disappointment. But anyways,
I want Smith out of those three.
Me too.
Yeah.
Out of which Hughes
has a hard on for him.
Out of Leonard and Rheinbacher.
I love.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. No. Fair enough. But
Rheinbacher.
Look, I've been following Columbus and San Jose a little bit, and I've heard good and bad sources of how San Jose really likes Smith. And lately, all the rumors and everything I've been hearing is that Montreal will be left to take Michkov, and they will not. And then Rheinbacher and Leonard have been huge choices. But again, we don't know. This is what they've been saying. Personally, I would take Benson if he really doesn't want to take Michkov. I sent you guys today about a guy that writes. He's very unique. He writes like 6,000-word seriously, 6,000 word mock draft, like detailing every player, and he actually put Zach Benson at 4. I think I would go.
I don't know, man. Four.
But anyways, I still said you have to pick one of the 5 regardless. Top
10 for sure, but he's not top 4. Not
well, that's his final ranking for it. But anyways, I would certainly. I know we'll do a bit more in depth in the draft preview, but I would certainly go with one of the top 5. Don't make it complicated, but I think we are. Yeah. So.
Oh, I can't wait for the.
You think we are, right?
Oh my god, I can't wait. For us to,
if we pick release... linebacker, I'm shutting off the screen.
Well, I'm
going to bed.
I will just die of laughter. I think
there's two things I can't wait for. I can't wait for our draft preview episode,
fucking mental show,
and then after that, I can't wait for the actual draft itself.
It's gonna be great.
Oh my god! Like we're gonna try to arrange something beautiful for our audience here. But
can't wait to see your face.
Oh my god! Like Joe, like I want you to be next to me. Like you and I have to be in the same room.
We all planned it on Zoom, so it's
yeah. I know, but I gotta find a way to actually get you physically next to me.
And teleport.
Anyways, but yeah, that's for a whole other episode, and I can't wait to get there. It's gonna be amazing. Two things, guys. I want to talk about wrapped into one before we wrap up the show. And can you believe it's the 30th anniversary?
I was 1993, 1 year old.
Montreal Canadiens. No. I was 5. You said, no, you weren't. You were 5.
Fine. Date me. Fine. You're just dating me, man.
Oh, my God. 30 years ago.
Was 1 year old, right?
Chris was yes. Less than
8
one.
Months.
Okay.
Chris 8 was months.
8 fine. Months. And, you know, when we talk about the 93 Canadiens, like, I think, you watch the highlights and you listen to the stories, and of course the major one is that the 10 straight overtime wins. That's been mm-hmm. like that's still, I think it still holds the record to this day. But I also believe, I truly believe, like the Canadians created their own luck in a sense. If you really go back and
but that's what the teams do.
Absolutely, but also had the New York Islanders not defeated the Pittsburgh Penguins at that time, do you think could it be? I know shoulda, woulda, coulda. Like
never know, man.
The history has been written 30 years now, but like it's something to think about too. And Chris, I had this talk with our Uncle Joe, and he's like, man, like the way everything was aligned for the Canadiens to win that cup, it was the stars were aligned. Like you beat your provincial rivals, the Quebec Nordiques. You know, like you're down 2-0, I believe.
And then 1-6.
And you come back, win 4 straight. And so just for you, Joey and Zook, like our Uncle Joel has been working for the military, but like deep in Quebec City.
Quebec City.
Like within the
Shannon area, so it's like 20 minutes north. It's on the military base.
Yeah, so so he was deep within Quebec Nordiques enemy territory at that time.
Mm, okay,
and he still remembers to this day, like he's like that the papers were trashing.
Yeah, the game. They dined, like, is what he says. They called them.
They keep they dined. Okay, fucking turkeys, I guess. And apparently,
that's
like,
why we need the Nordiques guys. That rivalry is what we need.
I'm leaning towards there slowly too. Anyhow. But apparently saying the fans there too were fucking.
It's a good market.
And then apparently like once they started winning and the Canadiens eliminating them, apparently was a fucking.
Yeah.
Like the fans, the Hash fans that were there just laughed at all the Nordiques fans. Like it was an amazing shit show to be a part of.
Sick.
If that actually exists. But then.
We don't have that anymore.
No.
The Nordiques? Yeah.
No, just that sort of rivalry.
Well, no, if they bring it back, I think it'll be that. I think
that's why
Molson
wants
game,
a piece of it.
Oh, for sure.
He's gonna capitalize on that shit.
Yeah, but he sent his ex half partner to go buy the Senators. Go buy the Senators. Go.
Mental.
Go under $1 billion. Go have fun in the swamp.
He was actually interviewing Kent Hughes and Gorton. He was one of the.
Oh
group.
Yeah.
He
oh no like, way.
Well, he was one of the pieces. Yeah.
Anyways, so and back. Lauer. Cool story, bro. Back to the Canadians. I think we all forget, though. I'm going to give you guys a stat over here. When the Canadians made the playoffs that year, they had 102 points in 84 games. It was an 84-game season. Okay? Now, let me ask you guys this. That year, who do you think was their best player? Without looking at stats or without
research. Or was it... Was it Mulder?
It was both. So you had Vesa Dafus, 97 points. Dafus had 97 points in 84 games.
Then I don't remember the last time we had that.
I know, dude, not in our lifetime, at least.
Mental.
Or maybe in the late 90s. No, anyways, Kirk Mahler, second with 94 points in 80 games.
What a team.
You had Brian Bellows. Listen to this. Brian Bellows, 88 points in 82 games, 40 goals. And then you had Stefan LeBeau.
He's our Caulfield.
Dude, Stefan LeBeau had 80 points in 71 games. So you have four guys that are not only over 80 points, but they're over 30 goals.
Yeah, it's insane.
Four guys.
Yeah.
Like, is that ever going to happen again for this team? Or for any NHL team, for that matter?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen for sure.
Besides McDavid and Draisaitl, like, holy shit. Like, yeah. Dude, like, that.
Well, there's certainly more parity now, so it is harder.
Yeah.
I have a feeling these new kids, this class there that we've been seeing the last 5 years, there's going to be a lot of goals, especially this new draft. There's going to be a lot of good players.
I agree with Zouk, because I think you might have a line, maybe not four, but I think you could have three guys that are going to put up huge amounts of points, because it's either going to be goals or assists. And like a really dominant line.
Okay. But let me ask you guys this, though.
That's a calm fucking okay.
Okay.
I'm very calm. I'm a calm guy. What are you guys talking about?
Mm.
Let me ask you guys this. What can the Canadians learn from the Vegas Golden Knights winning the cup?
Size. Average height, 6'1".
Okay. So that's you agree with John Scott and what he said.
Every fucking line is colossal, dude. Like,
yeah, but it always changes. Games,
playoffs is a grinding fucking season.
Tampa Bay won it, and they're not.
Yeah, but they were big though. No, they were not bad though. Like,
they're big on defense. They're big on defense.
Big on defense. Yeah, but I think he's talking about the forwards and all that.
Yeah. The grinding. Yeah.
Tampa Bay did it, done it twice in a row.
Right, but Tampa Bay didn't necessarily face the team.
Not big. Point, Kucherov, Stamkos, they're not guys you can consider massive players that play that type of hockey. So
Marsh is still 5'9".
Yeah.
He's the MVP. He's the MVP.
So if Montreal does not take, I hate to refer to this, but if they not take a player, because look at Caulfield. If we take a player, we already have Caulfield, so we don't want another 5'10 forward. I mean, that's ludicrous. NHL always changes. You don't know what it's going to be in the next 3-4 years. That's why you always take best player.
But did you hear what Kent Hughes said, though? He's like, just because Tampa wins the cup 1 year, it doesn't mean we have to stack on talent, or just because Pittsburgh wins 1 year, we gotta
stack on
speed.
Look, it goes down to
I don't think he's all about copy paste, Kent Hughes.
He shouldn't be, because it changes.
You're copying now
to compete in 5 years doesn't make any sense.
But then why do we keep saying it's a copy paste type of league?
But most of them fail.
Mm-hmm. I'm agreeing with you.
They're copying of that year, and then the next year it's different, or next 2-3 years is different. They'll be like, yeah, I want to be like Vegas. A team will say, no, I want to be like Vegas, but they can only compete in 4 or 5 years. But it changes in 4 or 5 years.
It's like what Bergeron did. He wanted to draft big to compete with Boston.
Yeah, and then he would get guys like Dwight Tenorti, King, who couldn't skate.
Tenorti and McCarron.
Tenorti, that guy, yeah, that skate. Fish on the
and
ice.
And he picked up Dwight King, who couldn't skate. I remember.
Oh, I remember that
Steve
too.
Steve Ott, useless.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But
and then the game went over the speed, you know. Anyways.
Can we not say though? Fuck. Like, look at Tampa. The Tampa was stacked. Vegas, fuck that. We said it when we did our predictions. Vegas on paper is one of the fucking best teams assembled in the last 10 years. They have like fucking 3 all-stars on defense. They have fucking 3, let's say, top 15. Well, not 3, but they at least have one of the best two-way players in Mark Stone. And they have a fucking superstar offensive talent like Jack Eichel. Like, Eichel, I'm sorry to say, fuck. It's like, how did you look at fucking what Tampa did? fucking Kucherov 18 million over the cap, that fucking bullshit. And the same thing, Stone was on IR for majority of the year. It allowed them to stack up a whole bunch of amazing players. I'm not saying that Vegas cheated as badly as Tampa did. Maybe I'm sour because well,
they still used the loophole, and
they fucking used the loophole, and they fucking assembled a super team. That's an all-star team. That's a fucking all-star team. So what can we learn? Fucking everybody go on IR. Fucking let's stack up a bunch of y'all, and then let's go win that cup.
Yeah.
Well, I think if Joey's favorite player goes on LTIR, then maybe we'll be able to.
Gallagher.
Yeah. We'll only compete when he's gone.
But seriously though, like John Scott, did you guys hear what he said?
Yeah.
I didn't
hear Suzuki and Caulfield are too small to be able to carry the weight.
You're talking about John Scott who got jokingly voted into the All-Star
game. I must destroy Phil Kessel.
That John Phil, Scott got jokingly voted into an All-Star.
Yeah, he's a joke.
Speaking of Phil Kessel, oh my God, I love him even more now. He's the best.
He threw up?
Dude, he absolutely threw up every single fucking hot dog he ate.
Absolutely.
He did. Phil the Thrill, three-time Stanley Cup champion. Jonathan Quick, three-time Stanley Cup champion. But
Jesus Christ.
Listen, John Scott is half right and half wrong. The Canadians could win a Stanley Cup with Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield in the lineup.
Because you have Jack.
Okay. Let's say this. Any team in the NHL could win the Stanley Cup if they have a Nick Suzuki or a Cole Caulfield in their lineup. That's where he's wrong, where he says they can't win with those guys. But I also think what he said might be misquoted a little bit. I think because he also said, he's right when he says you do need size. And I truly believe they need to be well surrounded by guys who are big, who can skate. They need to be surrounded by those types of players.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Cutting in right now. The fuck? Like, I don't know how many fucking punches this guy took to the head.
Many. Not many.
You have three giraffes on the fucking on the second and third line. You have fucking Anderson. More importantly, you have young guys like Doc. You have Slafkovsky. The second that he gets his fucking Bambi legs out of his system and he gets a little more solid on his skates, those are fucking big guys. And those are, especially Doc and Slafkovsky, they're very big, very heavy, very durable players, I would hope. I would hope by the time that they're ready to be competing and they're a little bit older and a little bit more mature in their man bodies. But fuck, like John Scott, it's not going to be like Suzuki and Caulfield. They should be putting up a shit ton of points, but they have a lot of really young guys that are very big. And then you have Logan Mailloux. You have Caden Gooley. You have Arvid Jagr.
Mailloux, like, man.
Are you fucking blind, John Scott?
I don't think Mayu's gonna be that physical. I don't think it's in his game to
dish
out big body checks like that guy. Will help, like if
for sure,
to.
Like in terms of protecting the puck, moving the puck, or maybe beating like I was about to say it again, beating guys off,
beating
guys off the puck. Oh my God. I'm not editing that. Like, and I don't need to make a. Anyways, I do agree that, but like you're right, Chris. It's just those guys. We know Josh Anderson's game is to just go north south into the corners and just fucking. If you have to, you bulldoze someone. Is Slafkovsky and Kirby Doc's game gonna be like that? Like, guys, are they willing to go in the corners and get dirty, and get physical?
We'll have to see. Hey, this is interesting. We're talking about size because this is going to be very key when we talk the draft preview next week. So I'm going to keep that.
Okay.
For it. Yeah. That's a big thing, right? Do you want to draft a guy that's 6'2 or 5'10? It's a really big deal.
Yeah, it is. But like I think now we're this type of NHL, you could have small players, but you got to make sure they perform like at an elite level. And I'm talking about like the Patrick Kanes of this world. Now, hey, listen, you want to put Jonathan Marchessault in there, playoff MVP, you can. And it's not like Nick Suzuki, it's not like he's small either. Like, he might be 5'11 or just 6 feet tall on skates, But the kid's a fucking tank, though. Like, he almost looks as wide as a fridge, almost.
Well, look at Sidney Crosby. The guy's like 5'11", 6 feet tall, solid. He's a solid 200 pounds, and that's it. He's not gigantic, but that guy's strong.
But he had
those two guys. It's the hockey IQ. They're in positioning.
It's insane. But I think positions. But maybe Suzuki, maybe his IQ might get better and better, hopefully.
Like, it will.
Who knows? But
he's still learning, in my opinion.
But to me, I think at the end of the day, you got to have the size on defense too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, look what Weber.
What Weber did to fucking Vegas.
Like Weber, Sherratt, Edmondson. And look, Jeff Petrie, he's 6'3 at that time. Yeah, those four, they fucking, they took out everybody except Vegas. But I think when you see Caden Gooley, like, he's going to be the tough defenseman. You see Arber Jacka, he's going to be a fucking tough defenseman. Yeah. In the future, are we seeing Logan Mailloux in there, like, being a tough defenseman? I don't know if he's going to be tough, but hopefully his size does help. But then after that, like, who do you think? Do you still keep Mike Mattson around? He's not a small guy either, but he's not physical.
He's not physical.
You know, Jordan Harris, if he's still around, Lane Hudson, he's definitely not going to be physical. He might be the fucking stellar defenseman. Okay. He might be fucking deep, like, I don't know. Lesser Cale Makar. Let's go with that.
Okay. Let's take those top four. Let's not even include Mike Matheson. I'd like for the guy to be around, but it's just, you think about the task that's gonna present itself in that future situation. If you're going to have Gooley tough, Jacka extremely tough.
Mm-hmm.
Mailloux, who will be able to hold his own. He's not necessarily going to be a hard hitter, but he'll be able to hold his own.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might have Hudson. I expect him to be there when they're competing for the cup. What's the task that Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton are faced with? Going to get two tough five and six defensemen? That's Marc Bergevin work. That's a cakewalk for them. So I don't think it's going to be something that's going to be an immense challenge for the Canadians at that point in time when it's time to go get that strength and that support on the back end.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm not overwhelmingly worried.
And I honestly think if you add one more key piece that we should talk about right now, like if you add a Pierre-Luc Dubois in there.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping all episodes didn't come up.
I had to know.
I wasn't in that show. So
no, we're definitely not talking about him. No, I'm fed up. I just wanted to.
Just let me put my point in one phrase. I don't want him in the Canadians.
Okay. No problem. That's fine. I don't want to get to it. I just threw it
there. That's all I did. Just because I was in their last show, I have to say my opinion.
I
don't want him there.
I threw it in there as a joke, but that's a wrap. Guys, do you have anything else to add?
Nah, man.
Oh, just one last thing. I have something to add. It's the... We're recording Thursday, June 15th. June 15th, 2017, Marc Bergevin trades Mikhail Sergachev to Tampa Bay for Jonathan Drouin.
So many people got
pissed off, and I just you gotta stir the pot sometimes. You gotta blow the snowflakes a little. You have to just let them.
At least that snowflake is not part of the Canadians anymore.
Oh, I don't think. Okay. Here, let's wrap this up. Our buddy Jordan, a loyal follower, keeps sending us links, and apparently, Kent Hughes is letting go of four players. He's letting go of Drouin. He's not going to resign Drouin. He's not going to resign, or at least he's letting them go to free agency. Doesn't mean that he's not going to resign them, but he's not giving them any offer before July 1st. Sean Monahan, Alex Belzil, surprisingly, okay. Jonathan Drouin, and Denis Gurianov.
Okay.
I think those four are chop-by. So,
interesting.
Interesting to
play
see.
Golf with Jonathan Drouin.
Anyways, and in this article, it keeps saying how they actually might like Mishkov. So, who knows? But listen,
yeah,
we're gonna wrap this up. I want to thank you guys for doing this episode. This was a lot of fun, as always. I want to thank our listeners and followers for tuning in. Once again, follow The Curfew Boys on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any podcast platform. We are on Instagram. Follow us there. TikTok, follow us there. Facebook, we're on there. Definitely on YouTube. Please click like and subscribe. Tell all your Habs fan friends about us.
Or just tell us. Even just hockey fans, Sam.
Just tell don't worry, Joel. Yeah. Tell all your hockey fan friends. Tell us about us. You won't be disappointed.
Welcoming Maple Leafs fans because your team sucks. Come on board.
Sure. If they convert as Habs fans. If they come follow us. No, actually, you know what? I encourage Leafs fans to follow us. Send us a message. Let us know what your thoughts are. We might tell you to shut the fuck up because you're just the Leafs fans. But it's okay. We welcome open conversation with logic and rationality. And eventually, when we're done trash talking you, we will be at peace. That is correct. Okay? Have a good night, guys. Thanks again for doing this. Don't forget the draft preview episode before the very, very famous draft. June 28th. It's a Wednesday night. Why? I don't fucking know. But that's the NHL for you. Yep. So until next time, guys. Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.